episode 3, Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. I'm Drew, he's Christian. We're talking cold brew, as promised. So we have just launched our newest edition of our cold brew, and it's pretty exciting. We're digging it, and customers always love it. And really, this is cold brew is something that's super, super hip. And so we just want to talk about it and teach a little bit about cold brew coffee. Why is it so good? Why is it hip?
So put your coffee geek cap on, you home listeners, and I'm going to lay down some coffee science on you. When you're brewing coffee, it's really important to brew at ideal temperatures. You brew somewhere between 195 and 205 degrees Fahrenheit. It's not just us being super specific. That's when the most stuff comes out of the actual coffee. We call that a complete extraction. So you're looking for certain elements at the beginning of the brew cycle, certain elements in the middle of the brew cycle, and certain elements at the end. Your kind of your sours, your sweets, and then your bitters towards the end of the entire brewing extraction. What cold brew does is it lowers the temperature of the entire brewing process, and as such, it doesn't actually extract everything out of the coffee. So it is technically an incomplete extraction. It's very smooth and it's very strong because we concentrate the amount of coffee that you put in it. It's something completely different.
You talked about the actual extraction of it. Some people, though, may just lump cold brew in with iced coffee, which that's not the same thing. So maybe even let's take a step back and review what it actually cold brew coffee looks like and how's it different from just a coffee that's cold.
So iced coffee has a number of different definitions depending on who you visit. Some places, they just brew hot coffee and then put it over ice. We don't think that tastes very good. Mm. There's something that chemically goes on inside the coffee that really changes the structure. It tastes bitter no matter what you do. But what real cold brew is brewing coffee at room temperature. So in order to brew coffee at room temperature, you have to use a lot of coffee, use cold water or cool to the touch water, and you lengthen your brew time. So water, when it's cold, moves slower than water when it's hot. Same thing happens when you do iced tea versus hot tea. I suppose a good example would be a sugar solution. It's really easy to make simple syrup with hot water. It's not so easy to melt sugar in cold water because those water particles are moving faster. So you have to lengthen the brew time in order to get any kind of extraction to happen. If we did just a normal brew time, it would taste like really, really weak coffee.
And I think when you mentioned iced coffee not tasting right, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that when you brew hot, you're looking at a full taste spectrum within that hot brew. If you take a hot brew and then you cool it down, you're only getting a bit of the taste profile that was developed in that hot extraction. Whereas with cold brew, you're brewing it at a certain temperature to get a taste profile that you're going to experience at the same temperature.
The other thing you have to think about is your dilution ratio, and that's another thing that happens. When you brew coffee hot, it's already at the ideal strength, and strength is the amount of coffee that's in the solution. And so what we do when we make cold brew is we concentrate the coffee. So when you put ice inside of it, it'll actually dilute to a near normal strength of coffee. If we did that with normal coffee, it would end up super weak.
And, of course, a lot of people want ice in their cold coffee beverage. Let's talk about cold brew methods. As we evaluate cold brew methods, what are some of the biggest methods of doing cold brew on the market?
The most famous method of doing cold brew is the toddy system. And that is a interesting shaped plastic jug that has a rubber cork in the bottom. You put in your coffee grounds, you put in your water, and you let it steep for anywhere between 12 and 18 hours, depending on the coffee. It's kind of clunky, but it does a really good job. We have one in the lab. The other really famous, or not really famous, but it's kind of coming around on the market, is the Mizudashi Brewer from Hario. You can do a smaller amount of cold brew in there. It's kind of limited to 24 or 32 ounces, depending on what size you have. Both make a very good cold brew product.
The increments, depending on what you want, can differ. I know with toddy, you're looking at about 12 ounces of coffee to give you 7 cups, and 7 cups of water in to give you that 6 to 7 cup final beverage rate. What kind of coffee water ratios do we look for in that Mizudashi brewing process?
This is for a 32 ounce Mizudashi brewer. Use about 100 grams of coffee. And you grind it kind of medium fine. You want to make sure to saturate those grounds. And you let it steep for 12 to 15 hours, and you get about 32 ounces of cold beer out of that. So it's not a ton, but it's enough to get you a couple days, and it's always really fresh.
You don't have to worry about writing that down, too. We built a trading card around this brewing process, so you can just stop into our cafes and pick that up for free. Or if you live out in California and aren't privileged to the benefits of the Midwest, you can email us, podcast@Stone Creek Coffee, and request your own. We're cool like that. We'll send you one. So that's Toddy, Mitsudashi. What else is out there?
So probably the most dramatic, the prettiest version of cold brew that's out there.
Sexy
is that slow drip brewer.
The Yama.
There's a couple other companies that make them. And so what this is that one drip at a time, water flows into a bed of grounds, and then one drip of coffee flows out. So it's one drip in, one drip out. And this entire brew method can take, 12, 13 hours for maybe a gallon of cold brew. It's not super productive, but it is a beautiful, beautiful machine. And I've had some really amazing coffee off of it. If you want cold brew soon, or if you want a lot of it, this is not going to get you a lot of cold brew. But it gives you a really clean, really amazing cup of coffee. And if you email us, I can tell you about an AeroPress hack that I have for a cold brew dripper system.
Very Podcast@StoneCreekCoffee.com. We choose a little bit different brewing method at Stone Creek for our cold brew, and really to bring out the most of the coffee we use in our cold brew. Christian, walk us through that brewing process.
So last year, I spent probably 15, 20 hours in the lab, just really experimenting with the cold brew method. And I read a lot of really well-known coffee experts. Peter Giuliano, he works for the SCAA, wrote a really awesome article on cold brew. So did Lorenzo Perkins, very amazing guy, wrote an awesome article on cold brew. So I used their methodology a little bit, and what I was trying to do was bring a little bit more acidity and a more complete extraction into the cold brew, and really play around with the flavor elements that are there. So what we do now is we do what is known as a hot bloom. So we take the coffee in the it's kind of wrapped up in a large tea bag, and then we pour about a gallon and a half of hot water on top of it. So it starts the brewing process at that hotter temperature and starts to bring out all these aromatics that you only get when you brew with hot water. And then once everything is saturated, we hit it with another gallon and a half of cold water. And this kind of slows down the brewing process again and gives us a really complete extraction. We found some really amazing results with that process.
Every company probably approaches it a little bit differently. Different ratios, different methods of brewing, different brew times, different brew temperatures. But after the cold brew itself is hatched, we're even seeing some other unique things that people are doing with cold brew, one of which being barrel aging. What do you think about barrel aging cold brew?
I love barrel-aged substances. I love
practically
wines.
Practically anything.
I love bourbons, cognacs, you name it. But barrel-aging coffee has always kind of weirded me out a little bit because I really love the clean flavor of coffee. And usually when you're tasting woodiness in coffee, it's not a good thing. It usually indicates there's something wrong with it. So if I tasted like a woodiness unnaturally in a coffee, I might suspect that they're not buying good coffee.
The process of barrel aging something, particularly an alcoholic beverage, is that it's driven by the seasonality of the area it's in to impart a woodiness to the beverage. So when it gets hot, of course, the wood expands and the alcoholic beverage flows into the wood. And then when that region or that location gets cold, the wood contracts and everything is forced back into the barrel, imparting a color and woodiness to the beverage. You cannot do that with coffee. So when we're talking about barrel aging coffee, you're talking about keeping everything at a cold temperature to preserve the coffee lest it mold, where it doesn't have this flow back and forth into the wood, and it actually doesn't have the alcohol to make the flavors of the wood soluble, so you just tend to get the funkiness of the alcohol that was in the barrel in your final coffee beverage.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that coffee is volatile. it will oxidize very quickly. That coffee will not be good in longer than 2 weeks' time. And we actually have a two-week expiration date on our cold brew. So it's super important to brew that quickly and then also drink it quickly. Otherwise, it'll start to go bad. It'll have some weird off flavors.
All right, that's going to wrap us up for today. Next time, we will talk about the most abundant resource on the planet.
Water.
We're going to talk about agua, H2O, liquid ice. This, more than anything except for the bean, impacts the final cup you experience each and every morning. And it's often the last thing people actually think about when brewing coffee. So we want to shed light on water and how it impacts your brew and what you should do to get the most out of your coffee beans. Till next time, we're geeks.
And we're talking coffee.